This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
If Joe Biden won the election fair and square, while the scrutiny of making sure the vote was right, as American voters insist, Attorney General William Barr has given the green light to let federal prosecutors investigate allegations of voter fraud. Almost immediately, Democrat Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote, quote, Attorney General Bill Barr is a corrupt Trump henchman who should have been impeached months ago. If he cared one shred about our democracy, he'd be focused on the peaceful transition of power instead of doing the bidding of a wannabe dictator. End quote. A.G. William Barr on CNN.
But elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion. For example, we indicted someone in Texas, 1,700 ballots collected from people who could vote. He made them out and voted for the person he wanted to, okay? Because that kind of thing happens with mail-in ballots, and everyone knows it.
USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@GCNLive.com.
Pfizer Incorporated said Monday that its COVID-19 vaccine is up to 90% effective based on early test results that nevertheless brought a big burst of optimism to a world desperate for the means to finally bring the catastrophic outbreak under control. Pfizer was paid nearly $2 billion in July by the Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense branches of the government for President Trump's Operation Warp Speed. We're in a position potentially to be able to offer some hope, Dr. Bill Gruber, Pfizer's Senior Vice President of Clinical Development, told the Associated Press, we're very encouraged. Meanwhile, the FDA has authorized the emergency use of Eli Lilly's experimental COVID-19 antibody treatment for non-hospitalized patients with mild to moderate symptoms. The Food and Drug Administration said its authorization was based on clinical trials showing that the treatment, Bamlanivimab, reduced the need for hospitalizations or emergency room visits in COVID-19 patients at high risk of the disease worsening. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Monday Night Football matchup came down to the wire as the Patriots beat the winless Jets 30-27 with a late field goal. The Jets are now 0-9 for the first time in team history. Jets quarterback Joe Flacco says the team needs to move forward.
You know, we're 0-9, so we're dealing with, you know, a lot of those right now, and this is just going to be something that adds to it. I think we've done a really good job during the week throughout all of this of keeping our heads up and taking it one day at a time. So I just, you know, it's going to be the job of the coaches and a few guys on this team to make sure that we continue to have that mindset moving forward. As tough as that might be, there's 7 weeks left in the National Football League season. So if you don't come to work and ready to go, this league will make that very long and very tough for you to survive. So we have to keep our heads up and play this thing out the only way we know how.
The Jets aren't guaranteed not to lose next week. They have a bye week and won't play. SpaceX crew Dragon Resilient spacecraft and Falcon 9 rocket, stretching 215 feet long, are ready to roll out to Pad 39A at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in preparation for Saturday night's launch to the International Space Station. The famed launch pad is where Apollo 11 moon mission took off in 1969. The mission named Crew 1 will deliver astronauts Mike Hopkins, Victor Glover, Shannon Walker, in Soichi Noguchi to the orbiting outpost for 6 months. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
It's what we do. It's how we roll, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of how difficult it may seem on the surface. But look, it's well worth it. 240-some years of a free republic. And dealing with some challenges. But it's not like we haven't done this before. We come together as Americans. Forget about all the political crud. This is about America, the future of our country, and the next generation that will come after us. Will they look back and say, thank you, Mom and Dad, for giving us a independent and truthful country? That would be our hope, that is what we pass on to the next generation. With us right now is Gus Biggio. And Gus, am I saying that right? Biggio or Biggio?
Biggio.
Right. And Gus, like yours truly, a former Marine. So today's our birthday. So it's only fitting that two Marines are getting together on the radio to, first of all, say happy birthday to all our fellow Marines out there. Our 245th birthday. Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome, Bill. And you look great for 245 years old.
Well, funny you should say that. That was my exact thoughts, just even as you started to say that. Don't we, though? But look, that's what serving this country is all about. It makes everybody look great. And congratulations on your new book, The Wolves of Helmand, A View from Inside the Den of Modern War. Captain, I always say that, when you break it all down, less than 1% of any America goes to combat. And you are that exceptional individual and person that is experienced, and what you share with us in this book is a unique perspective and one that is needed for, you know, the 99% that haven't experienced a combat zone, that, they may see on a movie, they may play video games, but, you know, when you're there and your fellow Marine next to you has just been fatally wounded, or on and on the stories that you can only get in a combat zone, It's just so extraordinary, and to appreciate and have gratitude for your service, it just seems like it's not enough.
Well, thanks, Bill, and I agree with you. Part of the reason that I wrote the book was to try to convey some of those experiences, and I think my book's a little bit different than some of the other books that have come out of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and there are some really fantastic ones. It would take us too long to list them, but there's some great books, as you know.
Yes, exactly.
My book is certainly has its share of combat stories of getting shot at and some what we would call pucker factor situations. But I also wanted to touch on another side of being in a combat zone, which deals with sort of the quiet, reflective moments that you might have there. And when we were in Afghanistan, we were engaged in the counterinsurgency strategy, which is a little bit different than some traditional notions of warfare. And so I wanted to talk about some of the stories about that, you know, where we were walking the ground, meeting with the locals, eating tea, drinking tea with them, and sometimes eating a lot of boiled goat meat and rice with our hands. So I hit on that just as much as I do about the the guns and explosion parts of being in war.
Well, and I think that's the important thing, what you bring to bear on the narrative here, is you're broadening our understanding of what's going on, that this was not necessarily an asymmetric approach as much as it was multi-level, as you say, that you were there to win the hearts and minds of people, to get them, which is so difficult because, you know, these people have been so indoctrinated. I mean, from youth, they were indoctrinated to believe that it was all about them, that everybody else was an enemy. And here comes the United States, though you're extricating them, you know, from the horrors that they were experiencing. They still didn't know how to trust you.
That's true. And that's one of the challenges that we faced. So in a counterinsurgency fight, the enemy looks a little bit different. And a lot of times the enemy looks like your friend. So when our grandfathers and fathers and uncles went to the world wars and Korea, and maybe when they faced off during some Cold War moments, the enemy was pretty clearly identifiable by their uniform and their equipment. Mm-hmm. Here, the enemy looked like the civilian population. And oftentimes it was the case that the people that we were commiserating with during the day and felt that we were having a real good rapport might have been the ones who were organizing some of the attacks and IED problems that we had in Helmand also. So
right.
That is a testament that the fact that we adapted in that environment is a testament to the Marines that we served with. And we had a pretty intensive pre-deployment training program that focused on the traditional kinetic aspects of war, the shoot, move, and communicate concept that the Marine Corps is famous for, but also the non-kinetic aspect of it and the psychological profiling and learning how to sit down and talk with the locals. The other thing, we did extremely well. I would go so far as to say that when the Marines I was with were in Afghanistan, we won. We won our part of the war. We held our ground both psychologically and physically. And right. We did that because we walked everywhere. You cannot conduct counterinsurgency operations from behind the door of an armored plated Humvee.
Right.
You have to
exactly.
make contact with the locals.
Wow. And of course, the danger that heightens and what that brings to play here. And as you say, you know, to hear you talk about, you know, by daytime, the friendlies you might deal with would become your enemy at night. It's shades and memories of Vietnam, isn't it?
Certainly. And, you know, I've got friends and relatives whose parents were in Vietnam, and they could definitely relate to what we experienced. But, you know, one of the things that I think made us successful there was that constant walking around, that sense of personal engagement that we had with the locals. And when I think that when we first got there, the locals looked at us with suspicion because Afghans have seen foreigners come and go for decades and centuries. And so we might have not looked too different from the Brits and the Russians and Alexander the Great hordes that came through many, many centuries ago.
Exactly.
But I think the approach that we took of engaging with the locals and showing them that what James Mattis said is true, there is no better friend and no worse enemy than a United States Marine. And we were certainly ready and willing to play both roles, but I'm pleased to say that I think for the most part, we were the friends of the locals we worked with.
You know, Gus, to hear you relate this, I can't help but think, you know, in our local cities today with law enforcement, you know, there's been moves at varying times where they got amongst the people and they found that to be very successful. And so, you know, some of that strategy that even worked here in our country with law enforcement, you know, being a part of the community. And this is a tough thing. I mean, because, you know, all things considered, I mean, it's one thing to be in law enforcement here in the United States. Yes, some people may have some prejudice viewpoints. Maybe there's some relevance there, but I would think even more so when you've got a culture that's been inculcated for, you know, for decades about how they hate anybody from the West and you're coming in to, you know, help them out. I mean, you've got a lot to overcome. I mean, you're not starting out, you know, at a fair starting point. I mean, and to overcome that is quite extraordinary, and it says a lot about the team.
You're exactly right. And when you talk about law enforcement in the U.S., I think that's a great analogy. There is a sheriff in Michigan named Chris Swanson, and I was really impressed with seeing some of the videos of his engagement with his community as some of these protests were going on in the summer. And look, he is a law enforcement officer, and he has a duty to serve and protect the community.
Yeah. But Gus, we got to go to break. Let's hit pause. We'll be back and continue the conversation from there. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Okay, we're talking with the author of The Wolves of Helmand. Frank Gus Biggio is with us, and former Marine captain. What an incredible story. Gus, you had one tour of Afghanistan, right? And then you came home and you were an attorney, and then you decided, hey, you got to get back in the thick of things, right? Is that how you got back there?
That's more or less it, but I'll just clarify a couple of things. So I was on active duty in the 1990s. I was in the infantry. Then I got out for what I thought was going to be forever. I did a little less than 5 years, went to law school, had jobs in finance and law, and then came back into the Marine Corps after a 10-year gap in service to join a reserve unit called the Civil Affairs Group based out of Washington, D.C., because I felt a draw to service and I wanted to participate in what my friends who were still on active duty were doing and accomplishing in Iraq and Afghanistan at the time.
Gus, that's a tough deal. I mean, to be out of service for 10 years and to come back, you know, how did your family feel about that?
Well, I'm really fortunate that I've got a wonderful, supportive wife who understood my sense of duty and commitment to the country and the Marine Corps. And it was tough for her. And we, by the time I deployed, we had one son and one on the way. And the deal was, she's like, okay, I understand how important this is to you. You get one time to do it, and so do a good right. job. This will count as your midlife crisis. So you think that you can have a sports car or a motorcycle when you get back.
This exactly
is your midlife yeah. crisis. But she was great, and yeah. she put up with a lot of stuff. And I know there's a lot of stress for people on the home front, families on the home front, I'm always eternally grateful for her. And I wrote about some of those things that people who are waiting for their soldier or their Marine to come back home from combat zone deal with in the book. So that's another right. thing that I think is a little bit different about my book than some others from the wars.
Yeah, you're picking up some nuance here that's really important because people don't understand that, you know, this is part of your DNA. I mean, this is the way we're wired. We're willing, you know, even in my age, I mean, if I got the call, I wouldn't even look back. I'd go, I wouldn't think twice. It's just, it's part of our DNA, right?
Certainly. And I was not unique amongst some of the Marines that I served with in the CAG. We had a couple folks who had long gaps in between their initial service and when they came back in. Another guy who joined, and he was able to get 20 years in, but he joined, and his son was a new Marine. So there were two generations of Marines in our unit there.
How cool is that? That's amazing. Now, when you go back, you don't have to go to boot camp all over again, do you?
I did not have to go to boot camp. There was a long administrative process to get my commission again. That took almost about a year from the time I started my conversations in earnest to the time that I was able to retake the oath of office.
Well, let's talk about your last tour of duty. And what did your unit accomplish? And what's the progress like today? Has it been lost? What is the current status?
So we deployed to Afghanistan in 2009. I was attached to an infantry battalion, 1-5, with my civil affairs team. This was at the point that President Obama's counterinsurgency strategy was starting to take hold, led by General Stanley McChrystal. We went to a place called Nawa District in Helmand Province, and it was a violent, lawless, chaotic place when we got there. There was no security. There was very little NATO presence. There was a very ineffective and small Afghan security force presence. We came in with a battalion of 1,000 Marines. We got in our share of fights in the first month or so that we were there. But within about 2 months, we had a presence of Afghan government. We had some commerce flowing. People were enjoying the security that we brought, and things were really thriving. It was coming back to a sense of normalcy. And by the time we left, in December of 2009 and handed it off to another battalion, Nawa was looked at as the success story of what the counterinsurgency fight should bring.
Right.
Sadly, things have changed, and Nawa and a lot of places like it have fallen back into the Taliban's hands. The important thing, my message for the Marines that I served with and other Marines and soldiers and service members who were there, it's like, look, when we were there, we did our job and we did a good job. So we have nothing to be ashamed of in our service, and we did what's right for our country. We did what's right for the Marine Corps. We did what's right for the Afghan people. So
right.
I'm proud of that, and I wish there were some more things to boast about present-day Afghanistan, but that's sometimes the way it goes in the real world.
Well, it reminds us, Gus, like it or not, that you know, freedom has to take root at the local level, and it takes a lot of courage. And it sounds so simplistic, but you look at the history of our country and what we've had to go through in order to preserve freedom. And here you have, the Afghan people, the idea of liberty. I mean, they see it, and they go, that's thousands of miles away. That can happen to America. No way, with the kind of oppression that they're exposed to on a daily basis, can they have a capacity. And you gave them, for a glimpse of time, an opportunity to see what that looks like. But that's really at that point when the real baton is handed off to the Afghan people, it's up to them, to mount up the courage and do what it takes to resist those oppressors. And of course, it's easy for us to talk about because we're not here watching our daughters getting raped and their heads ripped out and, fathers murdered at point blank range and all that kind of horrific attack, because that's the way they operate, right?
It is. And as you know, following the news, there are discussions going on with the Afghan government and the Taliban and the United States government about the presence of the United States there. I think that things will probably get worse before they get better. The Taliban had a pretty strong hold on the country, particularly in some of the rural areas. I don't think that they will be as influential in some of the bigger cities like Kabul and Kandahar. But the Afghans are going to have to do some capacity building on their own to make sure that
yes,
they can join us in the 21st century.
Exactly. Now, the book, Wolves of Helmand, why that title?
I don't want to give a spoiler alert.
Okay.
But it comes from a conversation I had with a local Afghan. And
okay.
Look, I enjoyed my time. I sat down a lot and drank a lot of tea with these guys. But they had their fair share of swindlers in chief. And part of my job as a civil affairs Marine was to disperse money for some small infrastructure projects or reimburse locals for some battle damage claims. And when word gets out that there's a Marine at the patrol base who will give you money if you have a problem, sometimes you get a lot of interesting folks knocking on your door, so to speak.
I bet. That could be a book unto itself, right?
Oh, yeah. And there's a couple chapters on that. But the title came from one of those conversations. But I hope that people will be intrigued enough to pick up the book and learn for themselves how we came up with that title.
Yeah, even in a situation like what you've experienced, you can still follow the money, right?
You can. We were on a cash-based basis when I was out in the boonies there. So we got our receipts to make sure we complied with all of our U.S. regulations with respect to distributing funds. It's difficult to track the cash that it might have been distributed after we dispersed it there. So, but relatively, in the grand scheme of things, what we had was relatively small dollar amounts.
Yeah, but still, you got you got pallets of cash coming in that you go and take a certain amount, take your day's allotment, and go and distribute. Is that how it works?
Not quite. And where I was, I've never seen a pallet of cash. I ever
had. I guess you had to go to Iran for that, but that's okay. That's another story.
Sure. But, I probably at most had a grocery bag full of cash, and we had a good system of securing that on the patrol base. But when I was out, on patrol, I had a couple things with me. Obviously, I had my rifle and my pistol. Mm-hmm. That was the most important thing, but I also had my whip. And I had my fellow Marines, but I also had a small Ziploc bag full of cash in one of my cargo pockets in my trousers.
Well, as we wrap things up, Gus, I mean, here we are, a country, still in a decisive point, and I think an inflection point. And we've always, we've been here before, and we've been able to rise above it. I'm hopeful. I'm sure you are as well, right?
I am. I've been watching the news in the U.S. Lately, obviously in the last week, and I think that people need to accept the results of the election, and I wish President-elect Biden and his administration well, just as I wish President Trump and his administration well when he won the election.
Historic lows. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Incredible! With no origination fees or discount points. Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's 2.375 with a 2.396% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your new mortgage or refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Financial Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
If Joe Biden won the election fair and square, why all the scrutiny of making sure the vote was right, as American voters insist? Attorney General William Barr has given the green light to let federal prosecutors investigate allegations of voter fraud. Almost immediately, Democrat Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren wrote, quote, Attorney General Bill Barr is a corrupt Trump henchman who should have been impeached months ago. If he cared one shred about our democracy, he'd be focused on the peaceful transition of power instead of doing the bidding of a wannabe dictator. End quote. A.G. William Barr on CNN.
But elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion. For example, we indicted someone in Texas, 1,700 ballots collected from people who could vote. He made them out and voted for the person he wanted to, okay? Because that kind of thing happens with mail-in ballots, and everyone knows that.
USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. It's 28 minutes before the top of the hour. As I mentioned, I was in California for the last 5 days, and again, it's an absolute heartbreak to see the level of homelessness. I think well over 70,000 people that are homeless in Southern California. Now, I was born and raised in Southern California, so you can imagine. I worked in Los Angeles at several radio stations there, and the roads that I would travel to the radio stations now in the overpasses, you see tents, people living on overpasses. It's just like, how could it have gotten this bad? I mean, before it used to be in relegated areas. Now it is all over, even down in Oceanside by Camp Pendleton, where I was stationed for a year and a half when I served in the Marine Corps. You see people there amongst the bushes on the hills there off the 78 freeway and off of Oceanside Boulevard. It is heartbreaking. And our next guest, Michelle Steve, says homelessness is not a problem that'll go away until we finally attack it head on and address the real underlying issue. One size fits all just doesn't work. Michelle, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Bill, and thank you for bringing light to this crisis, because it is, in fact, as you mentioned, a very serious crisis in America.
And the thing that's amazing to me, Michelle, is that we see it, and it's amongst us, and it's like, we're not, you know, this thing is just not getting the attention that it deserves. And, of course, this is from my purview. You know better than I do, and our audience is why we need you here. But it just seems that we're ignoring this. And there's all kinds of problems, especially in Southern California. But you would think that even because of Southern California and the amount of homelessness that you have, that they would be a great laboratory to find a solution, but I don't see one. I just see us getting, you know, further and further on down the road. We've got, as you say, one size doesn't fit all, because there's a lot that contributes to homelessness, and if things weren't bad enough, let's throw COVID in the mix too, right?
Yes. Well, you know, across the country, there's about 570,000 individuals struggling with homelessness today. And as you can imagine, you said there's no one size fits all. Everyone enters homelessness for, first of all, it's often never one reason. It's multiple mm-hmm. reasons. And they really need to be looked at as individuals, not as the homeless, which is what our policies today do. They put everyone into the same bucket and say, you know, it's like saying everyone who has cancer, there's one drug that's going to treat every
right.
form of cancer that every person has. And it's a crazy notion. So no wonder the problem is getting way worse.
Yes.
But there are so many people across the country struggling. They're very unique. And it's not just in urban areas. It's in suburbs, as you pointed out. It's in rural areas. It's exploded everywhere. So we really need to develop solutions that focus on the individual, that focus on helping them to grow and progress, versus mm-hmm. policy today that locks them into homelessness and to the state in which they enter homelessness for life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, this is the issue. And of course, I have a big government issue, Michelle. I don't know. There's just something in me, and maybe just from past experience and in reading about these things, is that I don't see where big government can solve this, because they always think in terms of things being, you know, monolithic and one size fits all. Where I am here in the East Coast in Florida, the way they handle homelessness, it's amazing. I mean, it's handled at the community level, and it's with dignity. And, you know, and it, you can see some remedy coming along. But I want to unfold a little bit more of these contributing factors. You know, how does someone become homeless today? And, because as you said, this is not one size fits all. I mean, there are multiple, you know, reasons and personalities that are involved here. Help our audience understand what the makeup is of the homeless today.
Sure. So the program that I ran in Sacramento, California, which led to my book, Answers Behind the Red Door, we focused on women and children struggling with homelessness. But mm-hmm. we often said homelessness was one of the many issues with which they struggle. In our program, about 78% struggled with substance abuse disorder, addiction. Mm-hmm. About 75% with domestic violence, about 68% with criminal history, 50% didn't have a high school diploma or GED, 25 to 30% had lost custody of their children because of the issues with which they were struggling and unable to address on their own. In the broader homeless community, you see very, very similar data. The UCLA Policy Lab came out with a study last year that said about 78% of the homeless struggle with mental illness, mm-hmm. about 75% with addiction and criminal history and lack of education. So there's a myriad of underlying issues. The problem with where we are today, and you alluded to it in your comments about big government, is that in the last administration, over the period of 2011 to 2013, they took a treatment plan that was developed for a very small segment of the homeless population, the very severely mentally ill mm-hmm. and addicted. And that's about, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20, maybe a little higher, 20, 25% of the population. But they took this treatment plan that was developed for them. And they said, you know what, if it works for them, it's going to work for everyone. Mm-hmm. And the treatment plan is a house. So imagine walking into a doctor's office and saying, hey, you know, my liver is shot, my relationships are shot, I've lost my job, I'm about to lose my house because of my addiction. And the doctor saying, hey, we've got a great solution for you. Here's a house. That's what we're doing today.
Wow.
And the problem is we've got to develop policies that address the underlying issues so that when someone who is struggling with homelessness gets into housing, that they can sustain it on their own eventually. Some of them are not going to be able to ever do that completely on their own. But that's a very small segment. That's that 15, 20, maybe 25% who aren't going to be able to ever do it maybe completely on their own. But they can do a lot more than they're doing right now by just being shoved into an apartment.
Hmm. Now, when things like this happen, and this is what drives me nuts, Michelle, probably you too, because you're close to it. When you see this not working, you know, why can't they make an adjustment? I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan said, you know, the closest thing to eternal life this side of heaven is a bureaucracy. And they just seem to get, okay, well, I'm getting my funding. That's it. I mean, forget about the fact that, you know, what I'm doing is not working. How can you work and not be satisfied with the efforts that you're putting in, even in a bureaucracy, that you can see, well, something's wrong here, but what is it that gets in the way? Because I got to believe there's some reasonable people in the midst of this who are administering this that go, this isn't working. But you know, they're blocked from effecting change and making the necessary adjustments that are required in order to, you know, make this more effective. Is that too simple?
Well, you're very right. It's not working. So the data shows that since this rollout, one-size-fits-all rollout of a policy called Housing First was made over 2011 to 2013, in the last decade, homelessness has increased by almost 16%.
Wow.
This is under the promise by the federal government, by HUD at that point, that Housing First would end homelessness in a decade. In fact, some said it would end it in society. But the kick spending over that same period increased 200%. 200%.
Wow.
So your question is really good. Why are these people not looking at the data? That, you know, I just gave you national data. The data in California is even worse. New York is worse as well. The data is very clear. The amount of money being spent is way more than we've ever spent before. And
exactly.
It's going in the wrong direction.
Got to go to break. We've got more from Michelle Steve after this. Stay with us.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. and we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process, is called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking homelessness. I mean, for real here. And I say for real in a sense that real facts, real experience. Michelle Steed is with us for over 12 years. Michelle served as executive director of St. John's Program for Real Change, transforming what was once an ordinary 30-day emergency shelter into a robust, comprehensive 18-month program supporting homeless women and children in their battle to overcome the very root of the ongoing cycle of poverty. She worked tirelessly to incorporate not just a roof over their heads, but mental health services, educational assistance, and extensive hands-on employment training in the effort to bring about real and lasting change. She was appointed by California in 2012 by then California Governor Jerry Brown to serve on the board of California's Prison Industry Authority. Her passions for helping those trying to gain a solid foothold and re-enter society quickly led her down a broader path, becoming an outspoken voice in the face of growing crisis of poverty and homelessness in California. She has written a book about her experience, which, it's titled Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homelessness Epidemic. Michelle, you say behind the red door. Why the red door? What does that symbolize?
When we began the evolution about 14 years ago now of St. John's, from it had been for 25 years an emergency shelter for women mm-hmm. and children. And what happened is that in my first couple weeks, a woman named Shelley and her two boys came in, and then a couple days later, her sister, Katie, came in with her daughter, Tori, and I was so shocked that they were sisters and they were there at the same time, but the bigger shock and what really led to the evolution of St. John's is that 18 years earlier, they had lived at the emergency shelter St. John's with their mom.
Oh, wow.
And so I just knew right then we can't just give someone a roof and a meal and expect that they were helping them change the trajectory of their lives.
Hmm.
So we started building the program that you described, Bill, the comprehensive 18-month program that really helped these women and children's lives to be transformed. As we did that, our name, St. John Shelter, really became not relevant. And we brought in a gentleman, actually my co-author in the book, David Flanagan, who did some rebranding. He does rebranding, and he did some work for us as a volunteer. And the red door became our symbol. And the door in and of itself is a transformational event, right? Or a transformational object. You open it up, you cross the threshold, you close it behind you. Yes. But the red door has a lot of biblical symbolism. It was actually, the red door was a safe haven in slavery times. It has symbolism in feng shui. But it also has symbolism at St. John's. Every single bedroom door that we have is red, and our front door is red. And every day, our women realize they were making the choice to change. Yes. And it was a phenomenal reminder for them. It was a phenomenal reminder for all of us that this is a choice, and that they were making it, and that we were going to support them through it.
Well, that had to be quite shocking for you that here it is, you're dealing with a generational issue where these two girls, you know, their mom, now it's them, they're there, and to make a change. Relate, if you would, Michelle, some of the success stories, because for people to turn their lives around, I mean, you know, they're looking for, I mean, the traditional concept of a hand up, this is what this represents. And that some people are able, by the grace of God, to take advantage of this opportunity and change their lives. I'd love to hear some of the stories.
Yes, well, if you don't buy the book for any other reason, buy it to read these stories, because they are so inspirational. And I was just talking to, there's 10 stories included in Answers Behind the Red Door. I was talking to two of our women yesterday whose stories are represented in the book, and both of them, when they think about, so I'll give you the example of Sheila. Sheila was literally living on the river for nearly 10 years in Sacramento. We have a very big problem along the American River, as you know, you described similarly, they have in LA. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Sheila was living out there as a single woman, you know, scared to death. She described living in a cardboard box that she took from a bike store that was nearby, and, you know, built holes in it, you know, tore holes in it. And that's how she lived. And today she is working. She is able to sustain her own apartment. She is positive. She's sober. And she's now in a book.
Wow.
And, you know, just to hear her, you know, think about that, to think about that out loud yesterday, it gives me chills to talk about. They are so excited to share their stories, not just because of what they've overcome, but to help others who are feeling like they're a lost cause that,
exactly,
you know, they have hope too.
It has to give them hope. I remember as a kid, we would go and visit my grandparents that lived on the other side of Tijuana. And you know the cardboard village that was there. You have to pass through it as you go, and you go down the road. And that was amazing to me to see that. And I thought, even as a young kid, because I remember, you know, 4 or 5 years old, looking out the window of my parents' car as we were heading to grandma's house, and to see that. And then even, you know, years later, you know, visiting as a young adult and still seeing. And then since then, they've kind of moved it. I guess people had complained. They said it's such a blight, but, you know, they moved the people out. But so now they're living in other parts of Tijuana or outside of Tijuana, but still in cardboard box villages.
Yeah, it's horrific, the conditions in which people are living. And we often say they don't know what they don't know. And we often said that at St. John's, right? When they come in, So many of them have never, it's generational for so many, people who've struggled with homelessness. They don't know what it's like to live a life without violence and without drugs or alcohol, without, horrible relationships, without criminal activity. Yes. And when you open their eyes to it, and you have to do it very slowly, and you have to do it on an individual level, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, but as you do that, you start to see that they can see something very different than they've ever been able to see, and they start to really want to have more of it. And it just is so exciting to watch that happen, and so exciting to see them all realize very, very different lives. I neglected to mention in Sheila's story, she was ostracized from her entire family, and now they are her rock. They are her source of joy. From her mother to her father to all the way down to nieces and nephews. That is incredible.
Whoa, that's redemption. Yeah, to say the least. And for people like she, like you say, where the family disengages, because they're trying, it's like they're ill-equipped to deal with somebody whose mental capacity or their perspective on life has deteriorated to such a degree that they may live with a child out in a river or, by themselves to subject themselves to such elements that this is almost, to some degree, do they see that as a willful choice? Do they get to that point where they say, well, yeah, I'm responsible. I am where I am today because of the choices that I made, and that's why I alienated myself from my family?
Yes, absolutely they do, and they have to get to that point in order to move forward, but it's not necessarily right away, right? I often say, it is one step, literally a day for a while. And then all of a sudden they've got momentum behind them and they've got some energy that allow them to take more steps in a day. But you need to start, when someone comes into our program, we're not talking about 18 months later what they're going to look like. We're talking about an hour later, how are they going to feel? They're going to feel better. And the next day, they're going to feel even better in the next day. And you really need to start very, very deliberately small.
And I got to imagine, Michelle, as they go through each of these steps, I mean, it's almost like you have to massage them through, because this is a shock to the system. All of a sudden, the lights are going on, and it's one thing, I mean, probably as crazy as it may sound, a homeless person living on the Sacramento River knows what they can count on, even though there's some things that they can't. They know how to survive in that environment. Now they're coming out of that environment. This is a whole new world.
Yes. Yes, and it's very, very... the love and encouragement part that can only be provided by, people is a very, very important step, because they're so used to failing or they're so used to what they knew and what they did and not succeeding, I should say. And we need to get them comfortable with a very new way of thinking, a very new way of behaving, and the notion of success, because they
exactly
achieve it. And they don't know. It's scary. Very
unfair. You can only imagine what it must be like for them. In her new book, Michelle looks at the last decade of policies aimed at trying to address the homeless issues and why they have failed. Stories like the one she shared with Sheila are waiting for you. Get your hands on her book, Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homelessness Epidemic. Michelle, Steve, the book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you for being with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD, powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you?
I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
The final phase.